Well, Deacon Sullivan, we'd like to ask you to open us in prayer, if you would.
Father God, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here and worship you, and for keeping us warm, for keeping us fed with your word. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you'll look upon your song sheets, of course, we've passed the Advent season, and this is the Sunday before Epiphany. So next Sunday is Epiphany, but this week we're just sort of in between, you might say, starting the new year. Psalm 100. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and my long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. Now, if you look on your other song sheet, a song that was written by Ira F. Stanfill, who had some great tragedy in his life that inspired him to write this song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And give it thought while we're singing it, how true it is. I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from his sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burn is getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Sing it out. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Yes, that's so true. Well, a few things I'd like to share with us today, briefly. Particularly this prayer, and I don't often read written prayers, but sometimes I read some that are so good that I can't pass them by. Sovereign Lord, there will be a new year, only if you allow it. In your mercy and goodness towards all, glory to your name, for your ways are perfect. Your wisdom beyond comparison. You are the truth for which we thirst. Quench our thirst with your presence among us. Do not leave us to our own understandings. This new year be ever present in our thoughts and direct our every deed. We pray against the spirit of this age. We pray against the schemes of the enemy, who seeks to lead us astray with the old. Has God really said? The answer is yes. Yes, you have spoken, and we obey. We obey for our own good and to your glory, Lord. So we surrender our lives, our ambitions, desires, and passions to you in this new year. All our plans commence with, if God wills, we will. For we know we can do nothing apart from you. Indeed, we do not want to do anything apart from you, even if we could. You are what we treasure most. Forgive us when we behave as if you were not. We do it often. We confess to our shame we are but foolish men, still your servants nevertheless. This new year is to you, for you, as all the years of our lives should be. We recommit ourselves to your service, forsaking all others, to trust you, to love you, and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray these things, amen. So we surrender our lives, our ambitions, and our desires and passions to you in this new year. All our plans commence with, if God's will, we will. A friend sent me something I thought was very touching. I'd like to share with you. It's Sister Aunt Louise group of short stories. Today, I interviewed my grandmother for part of a research paper I'm working on for my psychology class. When I asked her to define success in her own words, she said, "Well, success is when you look back at your life and the memories you make you smile." Today I asked my mentor, a very successful businessman in his 70s, what his top three tips are for success. He smiled and said, "Read something no one else is reading, think something no one else is thinking, and do something no one else is doing." Today, after my 72-hour shift at the fire station, a woman ran up to me at the grocery store and gave me a hug. When I tensed up, she realized I didn't recognize her. She let go with tears of joy in her eyes and the most sincere smile and said, "On 9/11/2001, you carried me out of the World Trade Center." Today, after I watched my dog get run over by a car, I sat on the side of the road holding him and crying. Just before he died, he licked the tears off my face. Today at 7 a.m., I woke up feeling ill, but decided I needed the money, so I went into work. At 3 p.m., I got laid off. On my drive home, I got a flat tire. When I went into the trunk for the spare, it was flat too. A man in a BMW pulled over, gave me a ride, we chatted, and then he offered me a job. I start tomorrow. Today, as my father, three brothers, and two sisters stood around my mother's hospital bed, my mother uttered her last coherent words before she died. She simply said, "I feel so loved right now. We should have gotten together like this more often." Today I kissed my dad on the forehead as he passed away in a small hospital bed. About 5 seconds after he passed, I realized it was the first time I had given him a kiss since I was a little boy. Today, in the cutest voice, my 8-year-old daughter asked me to start recycling. I chuckled and asked, "Why?" She replied, "So you can help me save the planet." I chuckled again and asked, "And why do you want to save the planet?" "Because that's where I keep all my stuff," she said. Today, when I witnessed a 27-year-old breast cancer patient laughing hysterically at her 2-year-old daughter's antics, I suddenly realized that I need to stop complaining about my life and start celebrating it again. Today, a boy in a wheelchair saw me desperately struggling on crutches with my broken leg, and he offered to carry my backpack and my books for me. He helped me all the way across campus to my class, and as he was leaving, he said, "I hope you feel better soon." Today I was feeling down because of the biopsy came back malignant. When I got home, I opened an email that said, "Thinking of you today. If you need me, I'm a phone call away." It was from a high school friend I hadn't seen in 10 years. Today, I was traveling in Kenya and I met a refugee from Zimbabwe. He said he hadn't eaten anything in 3 days and looked extremely skinny and unhealthy. Then my friend offered him the rest of the sandwich he was eating. The first thing the man said was, "We can share it." The best sermons are lived, not preached. I don't know how many of you remember Alexander Solzhenitsyn, but he, of course, received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1970. He said this, "How easy it is for me to live with you, Lord. How easy for me to believe in you. When my spirit is lost, perplexed, and cast down, when the sharpest can see no further than the night, and know not what on the morrow they must do, you give me a sure certainty that you exist, that you are watching over me, and you will not permit the ways of righteousness to be closed to me. Here on the summit of earthly glory, I look back astonished. On the road which through depths of despair has led me. To this point from which I can also reflect to men your radiance, and all that I can still reflect you shall grant to me. And what I shall fail you shall grant to others. The year after he won the Nobel Peace Prize, Solzhenitsyn found himself in exile. He settled in the U.S. in Cavendish, Vermont. Close by to us here. Well, there's a couple of passages of Scripture in particular I want us to look at as we're facing 2018. Full on, the first Scripture you can turn to is in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 43, verse 18. Isaiah 43:18. I'm reading it from the English Standard Version. Isaiah 43:18. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. Particularly verse 19 there, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That in particular I find very encouraging as we're boldly going into a new year. I think that's a great encouragement to us to recognize that the Lord is always wanting to do a new thing. And when we think about the calendar and, okay, well, why did the Lord decide there would be the differentiation between one year and another year? Several reasons for that is because the Lord constantly wants to do a new thing with us and wants us to do a new thing with Him. We're also going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read the whole chapter. 32 verses there. I believe that's right, 32 verses, yeah. So each one of us will read 8 verses. We'll start with Mrs. Lear and go around from there. So Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Each of us will read 8 verses. We, the readers today, will read 8 apiece.
Okay. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, from the English Standard Version. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version.
Okay.
I'm reading from the New International Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16.
Okay. Be 9 through 16, right?
Oh, 9 through 16.
Yeah, read nice and loudly.
In saying he... In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceit schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into who is the head, unto Christ, for whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Recommended in the National Version, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 to 16.
That's English Standard. Continuing in the English Standard Version, verses 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And that was the English Standard Version's Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24.
Okay, and I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, from the English Standard Version. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I've just read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32 in the English Standard Version. But we can certainly point out many familiar passages of Scripture here. But I want to mention particularly verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So when we are looking now into the face of 2018, and once again, as I mentioned a little earlier, why does the Lord give us a calendar where, you know, I'm throwing away after tonight all my 2017 calendars go in the rubbish. And I start off fresh with a 2018 calendar. Well, one of the things that occurs to me is that as we're facing a 2018, or facing a new year each year when we face a new year, that we can give up the old year. But if we think that we're going to enter into the new year just in the same condition that we've been in, I don't believe that that's what the Lord is looking to see achieved in us. And so let me set as a theme for us today how many people said, I've made my New Year's resolution. I made a long list of them. And most people sit down, if they bother at all, and write their New Year's resolutions. And by February, those have probably been balled up and thrown in the trash. But I want to suggest to you there's two parts of the word resolution. Is re-solution. So a resolution is supposed to be a solution. The renewal of a solution. And I chose to read to us from Isaiah chapter 43, that verse 19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So the Lord is saying, okay, yes, you're going into a new year. But I'm going to give you solutions. And my challenge to us here today and all those that are listening to this broadcast and all those of our brethren, wherever that they may be, don't be entering into the new year expecting to stay the same. Don't expect to use the same ways that didn't work in the old year or that failed in the old year. Look to see the things that the Lord is providing for us, as he says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of faith. And of course, as we look at a very familiar passage of scripture of Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 in particular, and also verse 13, that the Lord gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers. It's interesting in the English Standard Version that the word shepherds and teachers shows up there. That's a little bit different, obviously, than we read in the King James or other such. But the idea of a shepherd is important because a shepherd does teach. And so we can say the shepherds are pastors, and then there's teachers. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord is giving us solutions to the many problems that we face, both personally and problems that we face throughout the world. But he's not leaving us to our own devices, so to speak. He's also helping us by providing people that have been specially ordained, if you will, specially equipped, specially purposed, specially gifted, to be able to help us find those solutions or refine those solutions. And of course, I think of a solution to something. We talk about fine-tuning. Okay, here's the macro solution, and it becomes the micro solution. After we have tried it, we have to kind of tune it in. And so the Lord is providing these things that we need, so nobody has the excuse. And it's interesting, some people, their whole way of life is complaining and criticizing. And I wonder, and I've certainly had enough people in my life to like that, but you wonder if the Lord hasn't put them in, or I've wondered if the Lord hadn't put them in my life to complain or criticize, because that might challenge me to find a solution to things. find a better solution than I was having. And the idea of, okay, this works, but this works even better. And we're finding that out as we've had make change around the home. Some of the change because things that are broken, or some of change because of things we can no longer use in a certain way, that there are other things that are easier to use, better to use, more effective, whatever. That the Lord is full of solutions, He's full of answers, the Lord. And let me make it emphasis like this. The Lord has no problems. He has solutions. The Lord doesn't make resolutions. He gives solutions. And so, if you look at verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of what? Because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. Now this is interesting, because we say they have ignorance in them, but the ignorance in them that is greatest is the hardness of their heart. And maybe we've been disappointed. I mean, who hasn't been disappointed? Who hasn't thought of, in this year, the many things that have gone wrong, that didn't happen the way we expected, just like in singing the song from Ira Stanfill. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But this I do know, that you hold my hand. That you provide solutions, O Lord. You provide solutions to the problems that we have, the problems that I have, and that I would not be ignorant. But the ignorant part is not the most dangerous part. Being ignorant of the Lord's ways is bad, and there's really no excuse for it. But the worst part is hardening your heart. Because if the heart is hardened, if the heart is not warm, then you can't receive the solutions that the Lord gives. The Lord can send you the help that you need through different people, and you won't receive it because you don't believe it. And of course, one of the things about 2018 is the greater level of belief that I believe that the Lord wants for us to have in this year. If you look towards the end of the chapter, in verse 29 and 30, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, at first, years ago, when the Lord spoke to me about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. A true solution from the Lord gives no opportunity to the devil, that's for sure. But I thought about, you know, corrupting talk in the King James. It's stated a little bit differently, but I thought of corrupting talk, or, you know, as more like swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain, or saying foul words or things like that. But I come to realize, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, by whom that I have been sealed for the day of redemption, that corrupting talk is far more than that. When we are not talking faith to people, we're not talking grace to people, we're not talking to them about the solutions the Lord has, the love that the Lord has. And here we, have passed through. You can't get to the new year without passing through the birth of Christ. And of course, next week as we celebrate the Epiphany. And interesting, that word Epiphany means, is an interesting thing, because Epiphany is an eye-opening or a revelation from the Lord, but it celebrates the Magi, as we read about in Matthew 2, following the star to Christ. In other words, Jesus being given to the Gentiles. And so, when you think about corrupting talk, we think about the solutions that the Lord gives. Should we not be speaking about those solutions to our neighbors, to our friends, and so forth and so on? And not because we're going to preach it to them and sort of ram it down their throats, but because we're making an offer to them, and so they hear us speaking well, and that touches their hearts. I received an email from somebody yesterday that was very touching to me, because she said, "You are always, no matter what we ask, you're always there, and unconditional love." And I thought, wow, nobody's ever really said that to me before. And that was very touching, because I was willing to take on something, even at this time of difficulty and where I don't have a lot of available moments to handle a lot of things, was willing to take it on. And that from that came that beautiful statement, the unconditional love. And so the issue is, when we are coming up with solutions, speaking of solutions that the Lord has, one of the greatest solutions that the Lord has given us is Himself and the relationship that we would have with Him. That's one of the greatest solutions to problems. And once again, as I have even stated during the Advent season, I'm just as enthusiastic, if not more, now than I've ever been in my Christian life, though it's not that I haven't seen. I've lost a lot of friends, that have died this year, and things that have happened to them. And I've been able to speak encouraging words to the families and encouraging words to those that are ill, because the Lord wants to have us let no corrupt communication come out of our mouths. He wants us to speak of the solutions that He's provided. And why has He provided these solutions? Because He loves us. He loves us though we don't deserve it. He does. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. Thank You, Lord, for the gifts that You have provided for us, that we can take with us into the new year. We're not expected to go into a new year in the old way. You have given us a bag full of gifts through this Advent season to equip us for a new year, for solutions. Please, Lord, use us wherever we go to speak faith and love in Christ to the people we meet. Even though they may reject You, Lord, that they don't remain hard of heart, and that we're not hard of heart, and they can see that. Great opportunities that You've given us, Lord, that the desert will bloom, rivers in the desert. We thank You, we praise You, Lord Jesus. You are the Lord of 2017, and You're the Lord of 2018. Glory to Your holy name, Jesus. Amen.